قالوا عليه ونعوذ بالله من شرور أنفسنا ومن سيئات أعمالنا من يهدي الله فلا مضل له ومن يضلل فلا هادي له ونشهد أن لا إله إلا الله وحده لا شريك له ونشهد أن سيدنا ومولانا محمدًا عبده ورسوله أما بعد قال الله تبارك وتعالى في كتابه العزيز وأعوذ بالله من الشيطان الرجيم إنهم فتية آمنوا بربهم وزدناهم هدى Sadaqallahu al-Azim. My dear respected elders, brothers and sisters, when we look at current events that have been going on across the world and specifically in the Middle East, we see that the foundation of those events is the youth and how they stood up for what they believed in. And when they stood up for what they believed in, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, at their hands, created revolutions and changed governments. And it is because of that standing up that we are still seeing the after effects and the lingering effects of that throughout the Middle East. So the question is really that the youth in this day and age and at all times, they've had such potential. The people that stood up with their potential, they stood up with the abilities and capacities that they had, they managed to change things. They managed to do so many things. But the question is again, on a local level, on a community level, on a family level, we have youth, we have these young men and young women that are bursting with energy, and yet that energy is being used in the wrong way and thereby not achieving the results that could be achieved. So today's khutbah is basically directed at the youth themselves. The young people who are here off from school, and there are questions to be asked about how they are leading their lives and whether their lives are being productive or not, whether they have any goal in life, whether they have any goal for the hereafter. Once these questions are asked, then everyone, not just the youth themselves, but everyone should evaluate themselves. What are our goals in life? Have we changed the focus of our life? Have we changed the goals in our life? Are we focusing on the hereafter? Are we focusing on what we're supposed to be doing in terms of pleasing Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala or not? Once we answer these questions, then we would have a more clearer picture of what we are supposed to be doing in terms of our focus in life. We look at the Quran and it talks about many different young people and how they stood up. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala talks about how Ibrahim alayhi salatu wasalam, he was raised in a family in which not only statues are worshipped, but statues are created and made. Statues are carved. Ibrahim alayhi salam's father, Azar, he used to actually make statues. So Ibrahim alayhi salam, seeing this folly of statue worship being practiced around him, became very frustrated. And one day, when people went out for a festival, he stayed behind and said, "Ana saqim, I'm ill. I don't want to go, I'm going to stay behind." And when everybody went, he took an axe and he smashed all of the statues that were in the temple and in the houses, except for the bigger one. And he put the axe on the neck of this bigger one. When everybody came back, they saw that the statues had been destroyed and they started asking questions. Who is the one who did this? Can everybody move forward, inshallah? There's a lot of people coming in the back. So if there's any space in front of you, please fill it up. So they asked the question, من فعل هذا بآلهتنا إنه لمن الظالمين. Whoever did this with our statues, indeed he is from the wrongdoers. And the answer was, سمعنا فتى يذكرهم يقال له إبراهيم. We've heard this young man who always talks about them, and his name is Ibrahim. He always criticizes them. He always talks against them. So Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala describes Ibrahim alayhi salam as being a fata. Fata means in Arabic a young man. So again, because of his actions, he caused a revolution, and we know the whole story of how they tried to burn him and everything. And Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala saved him from that fire. We look at Surah Al-Kahf, the surah which we are supposed to be reciting every Friday, and the fadila, the virtue of that is that when a person reads that frequently, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala protects him from the fitna of Dajjal. And the story behind that, the basis of that story is what? It was a group of youths, seven of them, according to the most popular riwayah, they stood up for what they believed in. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala describes them in Surah Al-Kahf, إِنَّهُمْ فِتْيَةٌ آمَنُوا بِرَبِّهِمْ وَزِدْنَاهُمْ هُدًى. They were a group of youth, fitya. Fitya is the plural of fatah. They were a group of youth that had iman in their Lord. وَزِدْنَاهُمْ هُدًى. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala said, we increased their guidance. وَرَبَطْنَا عَلَىٰ قُلُوبِهِمْ إِذْ قَامُوا فَقَالُوا رَبُّنَا رَبُّ السَّمَاوَاتِ وَالْأَرْضِ لَن نَدْعُوَ مِن دُونِهِ إِلَهَا لَقَدْ قُلْنَا إِذًا شَطَطَ. Allah says that we strengthened their hearts when they stood up. When they stood up, إِذْ قَامُوا. This is not a literal standing up that is being meant here. It is a figurative standing up. When you stand up for your beliefs, it's not that you're sitting down and you stand up. It means you stand firm for your beliefs. They stood up. They did some action. They left their houses. They said, no, we cannot stand for this anymore. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala says about them in the Quran that they were basically just seven different people. And they left the village simultaneously and they gathered in one place and they started asking each other questions and they realized that they all left for the same purpose. So Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala united their hearts and joined them when they realized that we have come for the same purpose. And then we know the whole story of how they took refuge in a cave and they slept for more than 300 years. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala kept them sleeping for 300 years. When they woke up, they went into the town, they realized that everything has changed. And when they told the whole story, the whole town became believers and they understood that Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala had performed a miracle for them. But the main thing is that this group of youth, they stood up for what they believed in. We look at the story of the person who stood up in front of Fir'aun and he started sticking up for Musa alayhi salam. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala describes the whole story of how he criticized Fir'aun right in front of everybody. وَقَالَ رَجُلٌ مُؤْمِنٌ مِّنْ آلِ فِرْعَوْنَ يَكْتُمُ إِيمَانَهُ أَتَقْتُلُونَ رَجُلًا أَنْ يَقُولَ رَبِّيَ اللَّهِ. He stood up and said, do you want to kill a person whose sole purpose is to guide you? Whose sole purpose is to tell people that their Lord is Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. So Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala devotes two whole pages to this person's speech and the fact that he stood up for what he believed in. And he was also a young man. And in fact, the whole surah is actually named after him, Surah Al-Mu'min. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala describes in Surah Yasin, when Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala sent messengers, two messengers, to a group of people, and they did not believe in them. So Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala says that a person came from the end of the town, وَجَاءَ رَجُلٌ مِّنْ أَقْصَى الْمَدِينَةِ رَجُلُ يَسَعَى. A person came from the edge of town, making this effort and guiding them towards Islam and sticking up for what he believed in. they actually slaughtered him. They killed him. His name was Habib al-Najjar. Again, a young man who stood up for what he believed in. And when he's dying, he said, Ya laytani qawmi ya'alamoon. I wish that my people could know what happened to me. Bima ghafara li rabbi wa ja'alani min al-mukrameen. How my Lord, he forgave me and he gave me a place of distinction and honor and a place in paradise. So again, a young man who stood up for what he believed in. And there are countless examples of this fortitude, this strength that we find in the Sahaba. We've probably heard many times the story of Mus'ab ibn Umair, the person who was the richest youth. He was from the richest youth of Mecca. He used to wear the finest clothes, and his perfume was so good that when he used to pass by a street, many hours later, people who passed by that street, they knew that Mus'ab has passed from here. When he became Muslim, his parents threw him out of the house naked. His mother, having some sense of decency and some compassion for her son, she gave him a sheet to cover himself with. And he lived with that sheet for the rest of his life. The Prophet ﷺ sent him as the first mu'allim, the first muqri, the first teacher of Islamic teachings, and he laid the foundation for the people of Medina to become Muslim. By the time the migration came around, the hijrah came around, all the people of Medina were ready to receive the Prophet ﷺ, and this is based upon the effort of Mus'ab ibn Umair, the effort that he made after the Prophet ﷺ sent him there. He passed away, he was killed in a battle. The Prophet ﷺ, when he saw his state, he started crying. The same sheet that his mother had left him with, when they tried to cover his head, the feet were uncovered. And when they tried to cover the feet, the head was uncovered. The Prophet ﷺ remembered the time when he was from the rich youth of Medina, and it made him cry. So this was the sacrifice that these young men made for Islam. We look at the story of Muhammad ibn Qasim. At the age of 17, he led a whole army. He was the one who took an army into the Indian subcontinent. And that is how Islam's foundations were laid in the Indian subcontinent. Even today, if you go to Sindh, there is a masjid which is called Muhammad Masjid bin Qasim. The masjid is not an actual building. The ruins of the first masjid that was laid by the army of Muhammad bin Qasim, who at the age of 17, who led an army. So we look at the history of Islam and we see that the youth have had a great hand in the promotion of Islam. Those same youth, they don't have that same eagerness, that same zeal to do for Islam what our pious predecessors did. And it's important that they understand these stories and they understand how much ability they have, how much they can do for the sake of Islam, how when they improve themselves and they become better Muslims, how they can lead others to become also better practicing Muslims. So the question is, for everyone, is what do we understand to be the purpose of our life? Why did Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala create us? Why are we here? What is our existence for? And Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, He very clearly tells us in the Qur'an, وَمَا خَلَقْتُ الْجِنَّ وَالْإِنسِ إِلَّا لِيَعْبُدُونَ. The only reason that the jinn and the ins were created is for my worship. And of course, very important to understand that Islam does not encourage people to live in a cave and just leave everything behind. But the person who leads his life according to the command of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, according to the sunnah of the Prophet alayhi salatu wasalam, and he stays away from the disobedience of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala in his day-to-day life, all of his life is actually a form of worship. When he does everything with the right intention, the fact that he earns a halal living and he provides for his family, understanding that providing for my family is my responsibility and a command of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, this is also a form of worship, and he's engaged in worship. Of course, not sacrificing the main obligations of worship, like the 5 times daily salat and the things that we're supposed to do anyway. When a person is doing that, then he is actually engaged in the worship of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. So it all boils down to the intention of a person, for what reason he is doing a certain action. But once a person, he finds what his true calling in life is, he understands what this verse is saying. قُلْ إِنَّ صَلَاتِي وَنُسُكِي وَمَحْيَايَ وَمَمَاتِي لِلَّهِ رَبِّ الْعَالَمِينَ. Tell the people of Prophet of Allah that my salat, my sacrifice, my living and dying, my life, my whole life, the whole purpose, the whole focus is to worship Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. To live my life in the obedience of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. That is the focus of my life. When I die, I have to die with this understanding that did I live my life according to what Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala wanted me to live? Am I dying? Am I leaving this world in a state in which my Allah is pleased with me? That is the question that we need to be asking ourselves, and we need to understand that this is the purpose of our lives. The Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam, he used to encourage people to make a dua, which is called Sayyidul Istighfar. The dua is as follows. Allahumma anta rabbi, la ilaha illa ant, khalaqtani wa ana abduk, wa ana ala ahdika wa wa'adika mastata'at. أعوذ بك من شر ما صنعت وأبوء لك بنعمتك علي وأبوء بذنبي فاغفر لي إنه لا يغفر الذنوب إلا أنت. This is called Sayyidul Istighfar, the best form of istighfar and seeking forgiveness. The translation of it is, O Allah, you are my Lord. There is no one worthy of worship except you. You created me and I am your slave. And I am upon your promise and contract and your promise as much as I can. I seek your refuge from the evil which I created, and I submit to you about your blessing upon me, and I submit that I have committed sins. So forgive me. Indeed, nobody forgives the sins except you. This is a submission to Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala about understanding that He is our Creator. It's a submission to Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala to admit that we understand what the purpose of our existence is. So we have to keep all of these points in mind when it comes to understanding what the purpose of our existence is. The next question is that who do we understand to be our friends? Who are our friends? Who do we sit with? Who do we enjoy spending our time with? Is it people that frequent the masjid? Or is it people that frequent other places that take a person away from Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala? When the Prophet alayhi salatu wasalam, he addressed us very, very clearly and said, Al-mar'u ala deeni khalilihi falyanzur ahadukum man yukhalil. A man is upon the religion of his friend. So every one of you should just look around to his right, to his left, during the day, who he talks to, who he engages with. Is it a person that takes me away from Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, or is it a person that brings me closer to Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala? My friends are a reflection of myself. My friends, they are a reflection of myself. If they are committing bad deeds, then for sure I am doing the same thing. And that's why the Prophet ﷺ, he gave a very, very beautiful example. He said, إِنَّمَا مَثَلُ الْجَلِيسِ الصَّالِحِ وَالْجَلِيسِ السُّوءِ كَحَامِ الْمِسْكِ وَنَافِخِ الْكِيرِ. The example of a good friend and a bad friend is like a person who sells perfume and like a person who blows the bellows, the blacksmith. So when you are sitting with a person who is selling perfume, what happens? You sit with him and the good smells you are benefiting from. You get the good smells. And even if you don't take the perfume and put it on your clothes, you leave the shop of the person with a good fragrance on your body. And a person who goes to a blacksmith, a person who blows the bellows, there's smoke and there's dust and there's fire and sparks flying everywhere. And those same things, they are affecting a person. They are coming onto a person's clothes. Even if a person didn't do anything, just sat there, he will come out of there with his clothes and body smelling of smoke and sweat, and possibly even his clothes have burned because of the sparks that are flying around. So this is the example of a good friend and a bad friend. Just like just sitting with these two people, the seller of the perfume and the person who works in the blacksmith, affects a person, similarly, good people and bad people affect us. Good company and bad company, it affects us. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, He describes the person on the Day of Judgment who will complain about the fact that he had bad friendship. Allah says, وَيَوْمَ يَعَضُّ الظَّالِمُ عَلَىٰ يَدَيْهِ يَقُولُ يَا لَيْتَنِي اتَّخَذْتُ مَعَ الرَّسُولِ سَبِيلًا يَا وَيْلَتَ لَيْتَنِي لَمْ أَتَّخِذْ فُلَانًا خَلِيلًا لَقَدْ أَضَلَّنِي عَنِ الذِّكْرِ بَعْدَ إِذْ جَاءَنِي وَكَانَ الشَّيْطَانُ لِلْإِنسَانِ خَذُولًا. He will chew on his hand because of the sorrow that he will feel on the Day of Judgment. And he will say, I wish that I had taken the message that the Prophet had given me. That means any person who gave the message of Deen, I wish I had taken the message of the Imam. I wish I had taken the message of my good friends that used to frequent the masjid. I wish I had taken their advice. Ya waylata laytani lam attakhid fulanan khalila. And I wish I had not made such and such a person a friend who led me astray from the remembrance of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala after it came to me. And indeed, the shaytan, he disgraces the human being. So, my dear respected elders and brothers, and specifically the youth, we have to understand that we have to keep good company. The fact that the Prophet ﷺ, he even tried to encourage his uncle Abu Talib to become a Muslim and told him, Ya Ammi, قُلْ لَا إِلَهَ إِلَّا اللَّهِ. He said, Oh my beloved uncle, say La ilaha illallah. كَلِمَةً أُحَاجُ لَكَ بِهَا عِنْدَ اللَّهِ. That these are words with which I can stand for you on the Day of Judgment in front of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala and try to stick up for you. So the only reason that he didn't accept Islam was the fact that his friends were around him. And he said, what are people going to say after I die? What are my friends going to say after I die? That he became a coward at the time of his life, and because of this cowardliness, he accepted Islam. And he left the way of Abdul Muttalib. Because of his friends, he chose not to accept Islam. So this happens, that people can leave Islam because of their friends. People can give priority to their friends over Islam, over good, over Jannah, over the right path, over Islam. So we need to make sure that our friendship is also good. We're running out of time. Inshallah, I hope to, inshallah, with the next time I do the khutbah, to continue with the same subject. I pray that Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala gives me and everybody the tawfiq to understand and practice what has been said and heard.